I'll blow it up. Or your computer going, yeah, guys, you know the drill. These storms will roll in from the west. And all of a sudden, thunder and lightning, the way you love me is frightening. And then whammy. Make sure you get that surge protection, guys. BrightBoxElectrical.com. These guys will come out for free. Give you an estimate. Make sure you're protected. And business owners, you want that new showroom, waiting room, conference room protected, don't you? Call my buddies, the experts at BrightBox Electrical. And listen to this, guys. For a limited time, our BrightBox Electrical service calls are free. Free, and I love free. They do it all. BrightBox Electrical, they are the elevated electricians. 770-901-2500. That's 770-901-2500. Or go to BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Want better entertainment for a better value? Xfinity has you covered. Get fast internet for better streaming, up to 100 megabits per second. And now, with Netflix included on us, you can binge Netflix movies and shows right on your TV. The new X1 experience puts all your streaming content like Netflix, YouTube, and Pandora together in one place. And you can easily find it all just by speaking into the X1 voice remote. It's amazing speed and better entertainment now with Netflix on us. And it all adds up to a value that's simple, easy, awesome.
Get Xfinity Internet and TV for $35 each a month when you bundle both and get Netflix included on us. All for 2 years with a 2-year agreement and eco bill and auto pay. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Without eco bill or auto pay, monthly rate increases by $5. Offer ends 5/31/18. Restrictions apply. Limited to X1 starter double play for new customers. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees, extra and subject to change. After agreement, regular rates apply. Limited to Netflix standard HD plan.
A quick visit to Jiffy Lube now can save hundreds in costly repair bills later. We offer no appointment oil changes, tire rotations, brake service, and emissions 7 days a week. And Jiffy Lube proudly features Pennzoil. Not just oil, Pennzoil.
When you're America's best value, you don't need an overpaid celebrity spokesperson. I mean, even my sister here can tell you about
our 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty and a lineup of stylish vehicles like the Sorento, Sportage, Forte, and Optima.
See? That wasn't so hard.
You know I'm getting paid more than you, right?
You're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Head to your local Kia dealer today for the America's Best Value Summer Event and get $1,500 total cash on the 2018 Kia Soul. Visit Kia.com to learn more.
Don't tell me you're getting paid more than him, too.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. $1,500 total cash includes $1,000 customer cash and $500 summer bonus cash. The combined offer of customer cash and summer bonus cash is available when you purchase a new 2018 Soul, excluding Soul EV, and may not be combined with lease or finance offers from Kia Motors Finance. This incentive is for a limited time offer on eligible Kia vehicles. Not all incentive programs are compatible. See dealer for details. Must take delivery by 5/31/18. Warranties a limited powertrain warranty. See retailer for warranty details.
Weather's warming. House needs cleaning. That's Zero Res. Hot for May. 3 rooms, $139. A hallway done for free. If you mention my name, John Fricke. No spring junk and grime. Make your carpets clean and shine. 770-242-1313. Online at ZeroResAtlanta.com.
The game is everywhere. This is the place you gain insight.
Just talk sports.
The place that keeps you balanced.
Man, let the ball go. You know what I mean?
The place where you let loose.
I'm not sure you're sober right now, Johnny. I gotta be honest with you.
We are WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1, an intercom communication station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game.
Back in the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game. Hugh came up with a pretty good idea to have a little bit of fun this morning. And since it's OTAs, do some of our projections of what we expect. We're going to give you 3 each from Hugh and I about players this season from the Atlanta Falcons. Tell you what we expect out of these players this year, individual players, and we'll give you our 3 players and our projections. We'll do that in just a minute. First, we want to kind of update you where we stand with this Julio Jones thing. Let's be clear. Again, clarity is important. Julio's working out in Alabama. He's in touch with head coach Dan Quinn. I still remain, Hugh, in the camp that this is not a big deal, and I'm not overly worried about it. I think the team's going to get something done. I really kind of think this is going to happen. Dan Quinn was speaking out about it yesterday. Here is what Coach Quinn said about Julio's offseason workouts.
He's in great shape, and he's spending some time this offseason working on some of the things he has not even been able to over the last offseasons due to some injuries. But I'll keep the conversations that he and I have private.
All right. We're not going to be telling you much about him, but let's dig a little deeper with Dan Quinn. Here's Coach Quinn again talking about how often they talk.
Julio and I, we speak regularly, and so I was fully aware that he wasn't going to be here for the start of the off-season program, and I was also aware that he wasn't going to be here this past Monday.
All right, and one final one from Dan Quinn about when would Julio be here?
We haven't discussed, you know, how far, you know, when he'd be ready to come back and get rolling with the team. So we haven't gone down that road, led too far. I knew he wasn't going to be here this week. I would certainly anticipate him being here at the latest by the mandatory camp.
All right, so he's saying he will be here for mandatory minicamp, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Dan Quinn seems to be fairly confident at this point that this is going to get worked out.
As he should be. Coach, listen, shout out to Coach Quinn, because the one thing that Coach Quinn has been ever since he's been here is been a stand-up guy. I mean, and you know, that's something that, you know, honestly, you can't say about a whole lot of coaches. I mean, especially with all this speculation going on whether or not Julio is in a contract dispute or anything like that. Coach Quinn is just trying to move this along as smoothly as possible. He's not throwing any of the player under the bus or anything like that. They're just trying to get whatever this thing is worked out. So shout out to him for that. But it also says to me that, you know, their conversation is, you know, it's probably not a deep conversation, but there's some conversation about some contracts going on, you know, and they're trying to figure out a best way to handle this. And see, this is where it gets tricky, because again, I have to say this again. I am not going to sit here and try to argue the merits or the fact whether or not Julio deserves the money. That's not what I'm arguing. My argument would be that this is unprecedented. This is something that doesn't normally happen. 3 years left on your contract, teams don't normally renegotiate. Teams don't even want to sit down and talk to you about money after you've been paid. But it's just surprising to me that when you hear other people talk about Julio Jones and his contract situation, they feel like he deserves to get paid more. And the guy that surprised me that said it was Louis Riddick on ESPN, because Louis Riddick used to be a guy that worked for an organization, the Philadelphia Eagles, where I think he dealt with money. He was in the business, mm-hmm, of working with contracts. Mm-hmm. And normally teams don't renegotiate contracts when they have money still left on the deal, not 3 years left on the deal. So to me, that is the most interesting thing about this whole Julio Jones thing.
Well, and it's, you know, don't take our word for it. Don't take Dan Quinn's word for it about whether Julio is going to be on this team. I would hope that this would just end this discussion here about Julio's future when Arthur Blank said, I love Julio. He loves me. He loves Atlanta. He's going to be here forever. That's the owner. He's going to be here forever. All right. End of story. End of discussion. So we're going to work this out.
You can read that any kind of way. We're not going to trade him. We're not going to pay him. So he just got to deal with it. Julio's what, 29 years old?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore. He has 3 years left on his deal. I mean, sure, he'll be what, 31? I mean, you could take that a number of different ways. I think that what you're talking about right now is you don't want to make him upset. You're trying to figure out the best way to deal with this without making Julio Jones upset.
Right, to keep him, happy, because, look, you want those three wides flying down the field. I mean, the whole point, again, of drafting Calvin Ridley was to put him with Julio and Mohamed Sanu. And you'd have this triumvirate of wide receivers, you know, crossing and going deep and making life hell for, you know, defensive backs. If Calvin Ridley is as described and what we think he can be as a wide receiver, then the Atlanta Falcons receiving corps, literally second to none in the NFL. I mean, that's how good they are. They're best in the league. And so, I think, again, this will all work out. We'll see. We're monitoring it. And like I said, you know, if anything happens today, we'll let you know. And you and I are going to be up at Flowery Branch. So, what of this team this year? I mean, Hugh, we went through an offseason where a lot of fans were wringing their hands because the Falcons weren't doing a whole lot, though I think they had a better draft than people realize. I think you'll have an impact guy in Ito Smith. I think you'll have an impact guy in Deidre Sanat. Certainly in Calvin Ridley. I think the draft is going to turn out to be pretty good. But when it came to free agency, people, you're not making free agent moves. Well, they addressed a couple of issues that they needed to address, and that was really kind of what free agency was all about. So we expect that this is going to be a year where the Atlanta Falcons, I think, are favorites to win the NFC South. I think they're favorites to win potentially the NFC. They're right there with Philadelphia, why the opening game is so interesting to me in Philly. But that means you're going to have big individual years. So let's talk a little bit about some of the projections for some of the individual players for the Falcons, because I know you drew up some. What are your projections for some of these individual guys?
I predicted that Grady Jarrett would be a Pro Bowler this year. And I know, like, last year it was kind of hard because of Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald, but I just think that this is the year that Grady Jarrett breaks through and becomes a Pro Bowler this year. I think he's going to have a monster year. I also think that – I know this is probably going to rub people the wrong way. I think Julio Jones holds out. I really do. I think that he's going to hold out this year. I think there's going to be somewhat of a contract dispute. It's going to get ugly, but he's going to come back and he's going to have a monster year, and he's going to ask for even more money. I think that he's going to play. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, he's going to play this year. I think that this whole contract thing is going to get a little ugly before it gets better. But Julio's going to come in and play because that's the kind of guy that he is. And then he's going to come back the next year, and he's going to ask for a ton of money.
All right, so you're saying, when you say hold out, are you talking into camp, into preseason?
Well, I meant to say that it's going to get ugly.
Oh, I got
it. It's going to get ugly. And it might be some threat of a holdout, but I don't think that's in Julio's nature. I think that he might talk about holding out, but I don't think that's in his nature. And I think that he's going to come back and he's going to have a monster year, and then he's going to ask for even more money than he was asking for before.
And you have a third?
Yeah. And I predict that Cal really would be to have a 1,000-yard season this year, first year in the NFL. He's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
All right, I want to go back to Julio for a second. There's some fans who are saying and asking that Julio's been talking to and hanging around and working out with Terrell Owens.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've seen that on my Twitter feed, and I don't pay that any mind. I don't know if that has anything to do with Julio Jones asking for any more money. I don't know. And I don't want to, you know – I don't want to even, you know, give that any, you know, any credence. You know, Terrell Owens is a Hall of Fame receiver, and I know Julio Jones is aspiring to be a Hall of Fame receiver. They're probably just sitting up there chopping it up, talking about football. Now, there probably has been some conversation about money, but Julio's a grown man, and I can't see Terrell Owens influencing him to the point where he's just going to come in and you know, act all willy-nilly. I don't see that. I just don't.
Well, of course, you know, I have three kind of projections here, early projections as we go into OTAs. One is that Austin Hooper continues to elevate his game. Hooper is going to become even more important. Now, let's presume, all right, this is based on a presumption that everything's going to be fine with Julio, and you're going to have Ridley, Julio, and Sanu. Now with those guys going downfield, it's going to open up some pockets. So one of the things that, if you think about 2 years ago, back when they had that incredible offense with Kyle Shanahan, one of the things they were able to do is get guys free. A lot of tight ends. It wasn't just Hooper. I mean, it was Toy Lolo. Heck, they had touchdowns from guys like Perkins and Tialavea, for crying out loud. So, and those guys are, of course, all gone. But Hooper had 19 catches his first year, 49 last year. You know, I think he elevated his game last year. I think he continues to elevate. I think you'll find him getting, without putting a number on it, I think he becomes much more critical to you in terms of being able to move the sticks. I think he finally starts to become the guy that you rely on, Hugh, to move the sticks.
He has to, because Coach Quinn basically called him out in the offseason and said he had to play better. He called out a few people, but I remember Austin Hooper was one of the guys that he called out, so much so that Austin Hooper kind of took it personal and had been working on his game. I think that when you look at the year that the Falcons had that historic offense, one of the reasons why was because you had so many different contributions from so many different people. Last year, was not really the same thing. So you have to have that major contribution from the other players. Julio Jones got double and triple teamed a lot. I mean, but that's a given. So you got to have other cast members to step up and take some of that pressure off of Julio Jones and allow him to be able to do his thing.
You know, when we project players out, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to sit here and say, you know, Tack is going to have a big year, because I think everybody in the NFL thinks that Tack McKinley is on the edge of having a big year. So that would be no great stretch here. But I think the one projection I have is that of the rookies, the one that you're going to find that you like a lot more than you realize today that you're really going to fall in love with is Isaiah Oliver, the cornerback out of Colorado. Big, long, lanky, makes plays. I think you're going to find that Isaiah Oliver in a nickel is the kind of guy who is going to make a lot of plays for you and really help solidify that secondary, and he's going to be impactful as a rookie. And so I don't know, again, how to quantify that, Hugh, except to say that I think that when you think of the rookies and who you're really going to fall in love with, Sanat and Smith and Ridley, I want you to include Isaiah Oliver in that group, because I think fans will become big fans of Isaiah Oliver pretty quick, because I think he's going to have an impact on that secondary. And then the final one I have is actually a projection of a number. I think given the new rules for kickoffs that were voted on yesterday and approved by the owners, now I don't know if it's Ito Smith or it's Justin Hardy or it's Calvin Ridley, but I think the new rules are going to lend itself to the speed of the Atlanta Falcons. I think we'll see two or more kickoffs taken to the house by the Falcons this year. I'm going to project two returns for touchdowns by the Falcons this year.
Good prediction. That's a good one.
And that's going to be one of the more interesting camp battles to me is who's going to be – I can see Justin Hardy being your punt guy. I'm still a little kind of interested as to why the Falcons haven't used – I know they've experimented a little bit with Tevin Coleman as a kick returner. He was a great kickoff returner in college at Indiana, one of the best in the nation, if not the best in the nation. I wonder why they don't revisit that, but I guess they want to keep
always
helping.
Probably banged up.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, because and that's too bad because, I mean, again, you have a lot of options. And I think Coleman is an option, by the way. I think Ito Smith is an option. Calvin Ridley is an option. You weigh that against, you know, do you want to put that guy out there in that situation? And this again, why are we changing the kickoffs? Well, I just said, what, you want Calvin Ridley? Well, no, he could get hurt. Okay. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's a factor, too. You don't want your number one guy getting banged all up on kickoff, but he will do something. I don't know if it's going to be in the kickoff game because it all depends on how much value they place on him in the actual offense. I mean, because that's what you're talking about, John. If he's not going to get a lot of burn in your actual offense, then he's probably going to play a lot of special teams. But I predict that he's going to get a lot of burn with the offense.
Well, you're going to get a lot of burn if you win $1,000 this morning.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
jelly. Jelly, J-E-L-L-Y.
Must be jelly because jam don't shake like that. You remember that saying, must be jelly because jam don't shake like that.
Mm-hmm. You have till 7:59 to text the word jelly to 72881, jelly to 72881. Don't be jelly if you don't win $1,000 or somebody else does.
Boy, the thoughts, I crack myself up sometimes. I really do.
It's always the best line when you crack yourself up, right?
Not when you're the only one that get the jokes you're telling. Well, Daryl and Bo get them. They get them. So, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Jelly to 72881. Do not text or drive. Message your data rates. May apply, and hopefully you win $1,000. You can buy a whole lot of jelly for your toast and get out there and get some strawberry jelly. I don't care for jelly, so.
Oh, strawberry jelly is the best. I've gotten so, like, I'd rather have strawberry jelly on my peanut butter sandwich than grape jelly because strawberry jelly is just the best.
What's traditional? Is
I would say grape.
Grape?
Because they got Gooper grape. Gooper grape was like the one where you didn't have to do all that work. You just put them both. It's like they mix it in the thing, and you just put it on your sandwich. But Gooper grape, but I like strawberry jelly. Strawberry jelly is boss.
It is the morning show with John and you. We've been discussing the Falcons, giving you some projections on some of the players, talking about the very latest with Julio Jones. Again, OTA is going on underway. You know, I just wonder, you know, I'm going to go to the card of, okay, everything's worked out. Here it is, opening day against the Philadelphia Eagles, and you have this triumvirate of wide receivers. You're going to use them in multiple ways. One of the things that most fans don't realize is I think they look at Calvin Ridley, Hugh, and think, and there's two things about him because you project him for 1,000 yards. Two things about him. One, they think he is just strictly a fly guy. He went over the middle a lot for Alabama. He did a lot of that, too.
He's a receiver. Mm-hmm. He's a route runner.
He's a route runner.
The one thing that he has, he could take the top off the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's huge, John. If you get them enough time, he could take the top off the defense. And that's what you're going to be looking at. I think that you're going to have the ability – to have those explosive plays like you once had before. I really do. Because the one thing about the NFL is, you know, they don't really know what Calvin Ridley is going to bring to the table for them, and that's going to be something that you're not going to be able to count for. You know what Julio brings, and Julio's going to draw those double teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try to put eight in the box and try to take Devontae Freeman away from you. But Julio Jones is the straw that stirs the drink. So he's still going to get that double coverage. I think that's when Calvin Ridley is going to shine, when he get that one-on-one and he's able to run those crossing routes and those quick slants and things like that.
Well, the NFL meetings continue today here in Atlanta. A couple of big rulings are now in the books, a new helmet rule, new kickoff rule, and they're really debating the national anthem policy, and it's going to be the subject of our Vision Computer poll question of the day. We'll tell you all about that as we continue in a moment on The Morning Show with John and Hugh.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win
the game's national signing bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And here it is today once again when The National Football League makes Atlanta its home base. Last day of the NFL spring meetings today. Not really sure what's left much on the agenda. They have pretty much solved everything. Carolina Panthers, they've approved that sale to David Tepper. They've figured out the future Super Bowls and the drafts, and they've approved the new kickoff rules, the new helmet rules, which we'll get into in a moment. A lot of the discussion today is going to center on the national anthem. It's almost like they cleared the decks to have this discussion. You have differing opinions on whether they're going to get anything done today, Hugh. Arthur Blank of the opinion that nothing's going to happen today, and it's going to be a long conversation. And
it is.
Tim Mara, the New York Giants owner, though, says that they expect to have a resolution today.
They want to get this over with, man. I mean, because this is like when you were talking about this last week, and you were talking about Roger Goodell copping out everything. This is the reason why. It's because this is a room divided when it comes to how to handle this. Because I'm pretty sure that there are some owners that feel like they don't want to hamstring their players. They don't want to take away their players' rights. And there's some owners that feel like, hey, you work for me, you need to do what I tell you to do. And that kind of goes against the way that you portray football players and athletes in general. Because, we always hear things about Charles Barkley had the famous commercial where he's talking about, I'm not a role model. But you kind of really are, and you want to set examples. But the funny thing is, as long as you're setting examples that everybody else kind of agree with, that's the problem. And in the NFL right now, the biggest issue is attendance and how this protest has affected the bottom line. And they're trying to make it go away as quickly as possible. So they're trying to figure out ways, creative ways, to try to stop guys from protesting.
Right, and here's what they've come up with so far. Let's begin with the most outspoken owner on this issue, of course, is Jerry Jones. And in Atlanta yesterday, the Cowboys owner said this.
They want to come to the game and get away from a lot of the other issues that are out here. Certainly from my standpoint, as I'm trying to figure out the very best way for when somebody thinks NFL, they think about who's starting a quarterback and who's going to be come out hot in the third quarter.
All right, so that's Jerry Jones again, speaking to what you were just talking about the fans who wanted to just play football, just sing. What was it? Shut up and sing, that whole thing that the Dixie Chicks, right? So we have asked you on our Twitter today on at 929 the game this question. It's a poll question this morning regarding this issue. And as I ask you the question, you understand what they're debating. NFL owners are considering changes to the national anthem policy that would leave it up to the home team to decide if players stay in the locker room until after the song, right? That's one proposal. Or that if they come out, that a team would be penalized 15 yards if a player kneels, okay? And you're going to say this would solve the issue, this won't help, they need a better plan, or they need to stop playing the anthem. And so far it's been pretty spread across the board on all four of those. I will say this, the proposal, Hugh, where you would penalize a team 15 yards if a player kneels during the anthem seems to me to be a recipe for disaster.
Well, it's one of those things where I understand this is what it does, John, in my eyes. It puts the individual in a bad spot because now you're putting the team in a bad spot. And, you want to have a team concept. That's what football is. It's the last, in my eyes, the last true team sport. Where you have to count on everybody, from the weakest link to the strongest. And for you to sit out there and take an individual stance, that puts a lot of pressure on that person. And that's probably why they're trying to implement that idea. I think that initially what they should have did, what they were talking about doing, was not let the players come out during the national anthem.
And that's a fairly new thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, players weren't out there before.
No, I think that's probably the best way to solve it because, let me tell you, I was at the Special Olympics this weekend. And when they played the national anthem, I did what every American did. I stood for the anthem. And I remember how I felt when the anthem was playing. It's a different feeling. But I also understand that sometimes things happen in life where I understand the whole thing where people say, I want to get away from real life issues and all that stuff. But sometimes things happen in our lives that tend to overlap. And whether or not, you want to get away from it, it just slaps you right across the lips and you have to deal with it. And sometimes things like that happen with the Colin Kaepernick thing. That it's unfortunate that, you know, it happened, but it happened, and he dealt with it the way that he wanted to deal with it. Sometimes you just can't run away from real life issues, John. You just can't.
Who thought that, or who knew that, you know, a photo taken from the stands of a San Francisco 49ers game of a, and by the way, remember the initial photo, he wasn't kneeling, he was sitting on the bench. The very first photo.
Yeah.
Because we saw that. Who knew that we'd be sitting here today still talking about that and everything that would have gone between now and then. I would say this also. It says, now, one again, this is part of our question. We would like you to go to our Twitter at 929TheGame, to our Facebook, join the conversation and vote as well. One of them is, the other one is, considering changes to the anthem that would leave it up to the home team if the players decide to stay in the locker room until after the song. I also have a problem with this. Again, this is my cop-out from Roger Goodell. He wants to leave it up to the home team. That puts so much pressure, seems to me, on certain teams, because if it's a league-wide, let's say that the NFL institutes a policy league-wide where the players, again, it may have been 9/11 when they came out, the first games after 9/11 where players started coming out or something like that. But they used to not come out for the national anthem. If the league institutes a policy, that's one thing, and the people who are opposed to the policy can vent at the league. If you leave it up to the home team and the home team decides, does that create a problem in your locker room that your owner's choosing to do that?
Well, I think for the most part, John, when you're getting ready for a game, you're getting ready for the game. I that's what I would like to think. And I understand that, you know, again, things happen in your life that overlap certain things. But if you're not out there, then I guess you don't have a platform, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those things where somebody just tweeted that, You're putting politics in sports. And I think that most owners are looking at it the same way, and they want to try to take it out as much as they possibly can. And so in order to do that, if you have some guys on your team that potentially want to protest, just take it away. Take that platform away from them. No harm, no foul. Like, I guess that's how you can look at it.
Yeah, that's why I wish the league would do this as a league-wide. If that's going to be the policy, fine, make it a league policy. Don't leave it up to the individual teams. But, again, I think the league is punting
on this. What's the problem? I'm just curious. What's the problem with leaving it up to the individual team?
Because, you know, I think what you're going to end up with is you're going to have players, and right or wrong, you're going to have players griping, going, wait a second, we can't be out there during the anthem, and other teams saying, yes, you can, we should be out there. I think, you know, you could have internal issues on it.
I can see that. I can see, because some players might want to be out there for the national anthem so that they can, you know, honor their country. I can see that. I can see where you're coming from when you say it like that.
All right, so we'll see what happens. But we do want you to go to our Twitter at 929TheGame and vote and jump into the fray. There is one other thing I want to talk about. The helmet rule passed yesterday, and it's important when we get back to kind of, you know, the construction of football here. The new rules involving leading with a helmet. It is a foul. This is the new rule. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet. Okay, I understand that that's the way you have to write it, but understand this, it is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet, still becomes a huge judgment call. Huge judgment. Did he lower his helmet to initiate contact? I don't know. Did he or didn't he? You know, so that becomes a gigantic judgment call.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. When they say this, see, and this is why I need visuals. I need to be actually at the meeting to see this. Because as a defensive lineman and being in the trenches, you're kind of taught to lead with, like, your head is the first thing that is you contact with when you're on the defensive line. And then you lock your hands out and you create that separation. But it's that initial pop off the line where you get to kind of, you know, shock the defender or the offensive lineman to try to help you get that separation. So they need to explain to me what exactly do you mean by lowering your head and using your head. Because in the trenches, back in the day, that's what you used to do. Like, that was when you look at every slow-mo film of the engagement between offensive lineman and defensive lineman, there's always the head that leads first. And then you have the hands, and then you have the separate, the lockout. So I don't understand. So they're saying now you can't do that. That, to me, if I was playing in this day and age, that would be hard not to do.
It seems to be, Hugh. If you're a defensive back and you're going out and you're going to make a tackle and you want to lead with your shoulder, what's the first thing? If you want to lead with your shoulder and do kind of a rugby tackle, what's the first thing you have to do? Lower your head, right? You got to drop your head to get your shoulder up in order to make. And what happens if the receiver, you know, adjusts in the air and suddenly is directly in front of you? Did you, in fact, lower your head to initiate and make contact with the helmet? I don't know.
I mean, but that's just the natural thing that people do, John. Like when, like if you're a receiver and you know that you're bracing for contact, you tend to ball up. And when you ball up, you put your head down because you're trying to protect your personal parts. So yeah, it's one of those things where they're gonna have to explore this one, they're really gonna have to look at the replay when it comes to these hits to get them right. This is gonna be a tough one.
Hey, Wednesday, June 6th is coming quick, and we want you to join us at Top Golf. We want go to our website 929thegame.com, okay, on the events page and register to come to Top Golf with us, the whole station. And all of our guests, Grady Jarrett's presenting a day at Top Golf, our Celebrity Golf Classic, Wednesday, June 6th. Going to be a ton of celebs there. Spoon, Beasley, get on the list. Takeo Spikes, Harry Douglas, Derek Shelby, Ray Lewis is going to be there. And more are adding every day. You want to join us and all the celebrities at Top Golf? Go to 929thegame.com, check our events page, sign up and do some Top Golf with us on Wednesday, June 6th. Love to have you do it. When we get back, is college football losing an icon? The answer is, in a way, I think, maybe, on The Morning Show with John and Hume.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay, let's do it.
We're giving away a quarter of $1 million.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Now hear this.
Hey, did you hear this?
And welcome back to The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. As you drive in this morning, I want you to be safe. If you're swinging through the racetrack to get gas and stuff, I got a little side note here before we get into the real story I want to talk about. Did notice this yesterday because the real estate maven, she looks over at me and she says, yeah. I said, what? She goes, yeah, I'm just looking at this because she's reading the CNN thing. She said, gas just hit $5 a gallon in Manhattan. $5 a gallon. I asked the other day, I'm filling the blanks, at what point would you get mad at a price per gallon? Yeah, $5 a gallon might do it.
Isn't Memorial Day Monday?
Yep.
There you have it. Doesn't it always kind of, they price gouge you? Because a lot of people like to travel during the holidays. Yep. They like to drive.
Yep.
I mean, gas is one of those things, for me, that you can, I mean, it's a necessity. It's like buying groceries. Like, I can complain about it, but you're going to go buy those groceries. You're gonna probably try to find the cheapest ones you can, but you're gonna buy them. It's kind of the same thing. So I don't really look at gas and complain about it.
Wait, you saw gas in downtown LA, D, when you were out there?
Yeah, the cheap gas was like $4.70.
Oh, shoo.
Hey, mean, well, guess what, D? I'll be running cheap gas on the highway.
No, I had a hybrid. I was good.
No, but I'm saying, like if I had, like, this is what I would do if I'm taking a road trip. I'm running the cheapest gas on the highway. Because it's gonna burn straight through, and when I get to where I'm going, then I run a higher octane. But I like in my truck, I run cheap gas anyway because it's a truck. Like in the other car, in my Hellcat, I run high gas. I run the high grade. But if I had to drive that on a road trip, we're gonna run the mid grade on the highway because we're gonna burn it up. And then when I get to where I'm going, then I'll run it. I run the high grade.
Man, when you get that to $100 for a tank of gas. And you hit that $100 on a pump, yeah.
Well, I mean, again, I cannot complain about it. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, hey, you get it, and you know, it all depends on what kind of car you drive. You don't complain about it. If you can run one of those, what they call the flex fuel, they say the flex fuel burns a little bit faster. But, hey, it is what it is. It's one of those necessary evils. It's like breathing.
Mm-hmm.
you gotta get gas unless you're going to ride a bike. You can ride a bike or get you a scooter or something.
Well, there's a note today that we have lost an icon in college football. At least an icon is probably an overstatement, but certainly somebody that has been emblematic of college football for the last few years. Larry Culpepper has been fired. Larry Culpepper is gone. Now, Larry Culpepper is played by Jim Connor. You know who Larry Culpepper is? The Dr. Pepper man in the commercial. Because, after all, he invented the college football playoff. Flutie! Flutie's in. Who's in?
What do you do?
Larry Culpepper, according to Dr. Pepper, has been a great part of our Dr. Pepper College football sponsorship for the past 4 years and has helped us delight fans throughout the season. With the renewal of our, Dr. Pepper said, our college football sponsorship, we decided to take our football-related advertising in a new creative direction, which certainly it's Dr. Pepper. They're welcome to do it. I'm not going to tell them they're making a mistake, but you know, remember the Sprint guy who went to
AT&T?
Verizon.
He went for Verizon. Can you hear me now, guy?
Yes.
To Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I'm Coca-Cola, I pick up Larry Culpepper.
Wait, but didn't he go to AT&T too? Is that the same guy with the glasses?
That dude? The can you hear me now guy?
Yeah, he went to Sprint. He went to AT&T, right?
No, AT&T has the girl. I forget her name. She's got like long brown hair.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew. Well, yeah. What did he do? I mean, but what did Culpepper dude do? Was he involved in a scandal that ain't hit the papers yet? Because, you know, normally, like, there was some pretty good commercials. Maybe he was involved in a scandal.
It was a great commercial campaign. Am I missing something, or did it just run its course?
No, I think he was involved in a scandal, and they just wanted to get ahead of this.
But you're a college football fan. Didn't you think it was a great campaign?
Yeah, but I think it ran its course. Just like, remember when Dennis Hopper was the referee for Nike?
In bad the things.
Early 90s, yeah, yeah. It was great. It ran its course. Things run their course. Don't wear them out. Let them fade away, and then maybe you can bring Larry back when they if they ever expand the playoff or something.
Well, I don't know. I think
Flo been doing Progressive commercials forever. She's been slanging them commercials forever.
Yes, she needs to go away as well.
She's probably made a nice living off of those Progressive commercials.
There are certain commercials, and I'm sure she's made millions of dollars. I think there's certain commercials that just need – the commercial themselves that need to go away. Like that Wicked Witch commercial, you know, the one with Pinocchio, that thing that plays a bazillion times. That commercial – that's a tired commercial. I'm sorry, just the common commercial for, what is it, Microsoft or something? It's like, we need a new commercial, guys. The 18,000th time you see the commercial, it's like, okay, need a new spot here. But with Culpepper, they were always kind of creative. I thought they were fun. You know, he was sort of like the Paul Feinbaum of soda guys. So he's gone now. It'd be interesting to see what Dr. Pepper does. You know, Dr. Pepper's got what? They've got the, what's his name, doing the Justin Guarney, right? Doing the
Little Sweet,
right?
Little Sweet, yeah.
I mean, and that's been going on longer than Culpepper. That's been a campaign going on a lot longer than Culpepper. But anyway, he's gone. Just thought I'd let you know that. And it'd be interesting to do. I don't know, for your money, I would pick him up, Hugh. If I were another company, I'd pick up this Jim Connor and put him in my gear. And have some fun with it.
Have him sling something else, but yeah. He's not going to be doing college football. I mean, you know, hey, I mean, yeah, but I don't know how you would incorporate him into your commercials when he was iconic in college football. I don't know any other soda company that does college football commercials. Are there? I mean, I don't remember. Excuse me if I'm being ignorant, but I don't remember any other soda company running college football commercials. So that's probably why. It'd be kind of tough to pick him up.
Yeah, in college football, I think you're right. I mean, boy, it makes you realize that Dr. Pepper has a lockdown on college football. I mean, a lockdown. You know, all these championship games, like the SEC championship and Big Ten, all the championship games are Dr. Pepper games. I mean, there's the Dr. Pepper Big Ten championship, the Dr. Pepper SEC championship. Yeah, Dr. Pepper has really locked down college football. And good old Dr. Pepper. That is a Dallas, I think, right? Dallas or Fort Worth? I can never remember. It's one of the two where Dr. Pepper is. Coca-Cola's here. And now, because now Sprite's campaign is LeBron, correct? I mean, LeBron's a Sprite
big
guy.
Taste.
Right?
The big taste. Yeah.
It's in Plano. That's like saying Marietta. Right, yeah, Dallas, Fort Worth. Yeah, it's like saying Plano, Texas. I just thought I'd bring you up to speed. That guy is now gone. You will not see him on your TV no more. All right, when we get back, some of the headlines. How about the Braves? Extending their lead in first place again. Big win last night. They struck out to Philadelphia and struck out and struck out and struck out, but they still managed to win. We'll go over that as we continue in the headlines next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 to end the game.